Somewhere along the line, growing up, I made a very powerful association that has shaped my life. In fact, two of them. Number one, somewhere along the way, I linked up that learning, specifically learning ideas that could help me to change the way I felt and the way I behaved, and learning ideas that could help me to shape the way other people feel and behave, help them to literally change their lives, that was ultimate pleasure. I somehow linked in my head or associated learning how to change people's lives will mean ultimate pleasure for a lifetime, that nothing literally felt better than that. As a result, I read over 700 books in the area of human development. I listened to almost every tape program I could get my hands on. I went to lots of seminars, many of them lousy, but while I was going through the pain of the lousiness, meaning boredom during the time, what also pulled me through is I said, hey, if I just get one idea, it's going to be worth it, because one idea can make it all change. So I constantly had this driving, compelling pleasure for learning, and it's given me an insatiable appetite. In addition, somewhere along the line, I linked up that learning myself was not enough, that I had to share that with other people, and that if I could share it with people where it really made a difference, not where they just heard it, but where they really made a change that enhanced their life, that would make me feel better than virtually anything I could imagine, even better than learning. That's why I'm talking to you right now on this tape. It's why I came in here in this studio and sat in this dark room and talked to you. And even though I can't see your face, I want to, but I can't. But it's worth it because I know, I absolutely know that if you'll do this for 30 days, you're going to see measurable progress in many areas of your life, not just one. That juices me. It has literally changed my destiny. Now, let's look at the opposite. I'll give you a personal example. A young man was sent to me for a private consultation, and he was from Hawaii, and his family sent him with a rather large document, approximately 15 pages from the school psychologist, saying why this student could not learn effectively. And one of the reasons was this young man was dyslexic, which means he reverses letters when he reads something, for example. And first of all, this young man comes into my home and he's rather excited, to say the least. He's feeling pretty good. Sits down, and all of a sudden he hands me this document, and I see him immediately start to feel a thing called pain. You know, like, here we go again. I read the document from beginning to end, and just kind of mumble a little bit, and I watch this young man's response. What the document basically tells me is that all the people around this young man have decided that he can't learn anything, that he doesn't have the aptitude. Garbage. Unless there's something physically wrong with your nervous system, you can learn anything. It's just a matter of strategy and desire. The problem is this kid linked learning in school to being painful. Why? Because he's more of a kinesthetic kind of kid. What does that mean? It means he's one of those more quiet, more relaxed. He's more associated to his body than pictures. He doesn't talk as fast as I'm talking to you right now. He processes things more slowly. So I read through this whole thing, took one good look at it, looked up at the boy, took the pieces of paper, tore it into shreds, and said, this is garbage. Well, that kind of changed his state. He started laughing and smiling. I said, these people, they're very nice people, but they just don't understand you. I can take one look at you and I can tell that you're really good at a lot of things. I bet you're really good in sports. I said, are you good at a particular sport? He said, yeah, I'm really good at surfing. And the minute he started talking about surfing, you should have seen him. He started to feel good, pleasure, because he knows he's good at that. Well, while he's thinking of surfing, guess what I do? I start talking about learning, surfing, learning, feeling good, surfing, learning, feeling good, surfing, learning. That's how you create a new association. All you have to do is get yourself to feel a certain way. Make sure you feel it strongly, and while you're feeling it, link it to something else. By repetition. I mean, isn't that what commercial advertisers did to us? How come you say Winston tastes good like A? It's because they did it over and over and over and over again. Now, you can speed it up so you don't have to hear it so many times if you create more emotion. So I got him where he was talking about surfing. Boy, he was just surfing so well, just feeling incredible talking about this particular wave. And right then I said, yeah, how did you learn to do that? And all of a sudden he said, well, I learned to do that this way. And he started changing his neural associations. Till pretty soon when he talked about learning, his voice changed, his face brightened, he felt phenomenal. I said, well, now let's talk about surfing. And he did that. And I said, what would it be like to develop a surfing school? And so sure enough, he's telling me about surfing, talking about school. Pretty soon, school and learning make him feel phenomenal. All of a sudden, I take out some of the words that specifically it said he could not spell. And I said, I want you to pretend that you're surfing, though. So sit like you'd be surfing, breathe the way you do when you're surfing, and we're going to do this with the kind of rhythm that you would if you're surfing. And let's get this spelling down. And we did it for 5 minutes, and all of a sudden he's spelling perfectly the words that he was supposedly dyslexic with. In other words, he had an emotional block before. All I did was change his association to learning. Now, this kid was getting D's and F's. He went back and got C's, B's, and A's. Just with one little 45-minute session of changing his neuroassociations. How will that change his destiny ultimately? I don't know, but I can guarantee you one thing. It's affecting him right now. And what he's doing right now is a cause set in motion. Won't you agree? There are effects that are measurable right now in his schooling and how he feels about himself and his self-image. And it affects more than just surfing. It's affecting his own idea of who he is and what he's capable of. And as that happens, it's taking him in a whole new direction and ultimately a different destiny. I want you to know, as you're listening to these tapes, not only are you learning how to take control of your own life, but one of my outcomes, obviously, is for you to learn to help other people to make changes as well. Family members, friends, people you care about, business associates, I don't care who. But see, once you learn how to take control of your own life, out of your energy and power and enthusiasm, you won't be able to help but go work with other people and help them to change. You'll see them not doing something, you pull them aside and say, look, the only reason you're not doing this is because you've linked too much pain to it. But let me ask you a question. If you don't do it, how painful will it be? Right? And you get them to use some of the motivation we talked about yesterday, and you'll be able to come in and say, look, let's just change what you link to this. And you're going to have a whole series of ways of doing this by the time this program is over. You're going to get good at this stuff. Let's take another area of neuroassociations. What do you associate to giving? What does giving mean to you? And what does it mean to give of yourself, to give of your time, to give of your money? Your beliefs or associations to giving are going to control your destiny. I know for years, for me, my whole idea of giving was give everything I got. That's the bottom line. Be a giver, 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 and never receive anything. And that frame of reference made me feel like I was going to have pleasure in my life because I figured, hey, somewhere in my mind I linked up, if I give, then people are going to love me. They're going to like me. That's going to mean pleasure. So even though in the moment it may feel painful to give, ultimately it'll be more pleasurable than painful. Are you following me? So what's the problem with that? Well, the problem is it made me be this person who was a martyr. Or I gave, and would not allow anybody to give me back, which also means I was cheating them out of the opportunity of having the pleasure of giving to me. Now, how does this relate? Well, I hope to stimulate you to take a look at your associations around giving. Because if you're a parent, you really have a chance to shape the destiny of these people you call your children. For example, I have four kids, and I remember when my youngest child, Jarek, was around 4.5, maybe 5 years old, one of the things that was really important to me was that he learned, number one, to love school. Because I noticed he went to school a few days and he didn't like it too much. Well, I wanted to make sure that for him, learning was compelling because I knew it would change his destiny, as it did for me or anybody else that I've met who learned to love school. It really helps you to learn and grow when you love it and you love the environment. And two, I wanted to make sure that this child was not selfish, but was a giver, but also was balanced, unlike I was. So what I try to do is get him linked up. So for example, recently his grandmother came by, and for no particular reason, she just showed up with all these balloons to surprise my son, Jarek. Boy, he was jazzed. He had all this pleasure. He felt loved and excited. And of course, my mom, his grandma, got all kinds of pleasure by doing this, right? She was linked up. She saw him turn on and get excited and gave her this big hug. And so what I said to him, I said, okay, after he'd had him for a while, I said, let me ask you a question. How do you think right now you could create even more fun, have even more happiness right now? Now, this child's, 4.5 years old. So I don't know. I said, well, let me ask you a question. You could keep all these balloons, or you could take some of these balloons, or maybe even all these balloons, and we could go over here to this place, and you could give them to them. You could give these balloons to these old folks in this old folks' home. What do you think? He's thought for a little while. I said, or you could just keep them all just for you. Right? Gave him this little tonality, let him know I didn't approve 1,000%, right? And so sure enough, we went over to the old folks' home, and sure enough, he got this incredible set of new neuroassociations. Here's this kid, who's 4.5, walking in for no reason with all these balloons, walking up to these people. It's not a holiday. It's nothing. There's no special reason. And he goes up and he hands them to them. You can imagine the amount of pleasure he got. All these people say, oh, God, you're the most adorable kid in the world. Oh, you're so incredible. God, you came and saw us. All these hugs. I mean, he got so much pleasure attached to giving. It's a joke. With that kind of association, now what he does in his life is he looks for places to give. What will that do to his destiny? Well, that's a cause set in motion. The effect is he'll be focused on giving instead of taking, which means in most relationships, people are going to appreciate him, I would hallucinate, more than somebody they think is trying to get something out of them. In addition, what direction does that take him? What ultimate destiny? I believe one that'll shape his life for the positive.